Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode 19, we have not one but two guests for our first ever couples episode. George and Ina Neal have been together for 61 long years, and the life they have shared together is definitely worth sharing with the world. Here is episode 19, George and Ina Neal.
I'm George Neal, and I'm 85 years old.
And you grew up in Kentucky.
Right.
What city in Kentucky?
Wayne County, Monticello, Kentucky. That's okay. The county seat. We was raised out in the county.
I mean, what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Well, we just played out in the yard. We didn't have any stuff like you got today. Ours was homemade stuff. Okay. If we had little trucks or stuff like that, they made it, most of it.
Did you have any siblings?
I've got a brother and a sister.
Okay. And where do you fall in the birth order?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest? And was your dad a farmer? Did he live on a farm?
Yes, we lived on a farm.
Okay. So what was that like growing up? Did you have to help all the time on the farm?
All the time.
All the time?
All the time. We milked cows, but we done it by hand.
What else would you have to do?
Well, we raised tobacco. We had stripped tobacco, like tobacco stalks that growed up like corn stalks, but then you had to pull the leaves off. And
by hand?
By hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we didn't have tractors. We had horses.
Really?
Yeah.
Told you.
So what did growing up on a farm teach you?
Well, it taught you how to manage stuff, and it taught you the work ethic. Mm-hmm. That you have to work to get. And I've been lucky. I left home when I was 16, and I come up here. Mm-hmm. I was almost 17 when I left.
Okay.
And I changed my birth certificate and got me a job.
So wait, why so early? Why did you want to leave when you were so young?
Well, there wasn't nothing there for public work. Mm-hmm. I only went to the 8th grade school.
You went to school in a one-room schoolhouse, right?
Right.
Right, and what was that like?
Well, you had a small, but they had the whole 8th grade in one room. One teacher.
All 8 grades.
All 8 grades?
All 8 grades.
That's crazy.
But I went to school on a log. It's a log schoolhouse.
It was a log schoolhouse?
Hmm. Oh, huge logs made. I mean, like you see these log cabins, that's what my schoolhouse, where the school was.
Oh, wow. And it was all 8 grades in one classroom.
Mm-hmm.
How did the teacher even do that? Because I've seen movies and such where that was the case, but would she like split time between the different ages?
Oh, or yes.
Yeah.
And what she done, so using up second grade, they had a bench up in front of the desk of the teacher.
Uh-huh.
And when it was your time for the second grade to go up, they went up and lined up and sat on that bench.
Oh.
And she done it, and she went right through all the grade.
Interesting. So you came to Muncie when you set off. Did you go with your little brother? Did he go with you?
Mm-hmm. This was his Sunday
school. How old would he have been then?
He was 2 years younger than me.
Okay, so if you were 16, he would have been 14. So what did you do? So you said that you changed your birth certificate.
We went to work for tree surgery outfit.
Okay.
Cutting trees, to rim trees and stuff. Okay. Out of power lines.
How did you go about changing your birth certificate?
Well, you took white out and just made you a mark over.
And that worked? What did your parents say when you told them you were leaving?
Well, they didn't want us to go, but they didn't have nothing. We didn't, wasn't nothing there to do.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they understood.
Well,
Christmas
there on the place, but there wasn't nothing. We had a 40-acre farm. And
that was going to be your life if you would have stayed.
Right. Like I said, we didn't, growing up, I was 13 years old before we ever had a car.
Really? So did you just walk and go by horse? Or
go by horse, wagon. Oh. And I was 10 or 11 before we ever had electricity in the house.
So just by candle and...
Yeah, a coal oil lamp.
Oh, my gosh. What was it like then finally getting electricity?
Oh, it's on top of the world. That's what I was telling Addie here a while ago. We didn't have a refrigerator. Uh-huh. And to keep her milk and butter cold, we had rope, had a well, and it was a dug well. They dug it by hand. And you tie a rope around the top of it there, and you put that rope on a bucket and drop your milk down in the water, and that and leave it to cool.
Yeah. So you had to do that for, like, how often did you do that every a week?
Put it down in there?
Yeah.
Well, you went if you went to eat supper, you went down and brought it out.
Pulled it up.
And you drink your milk, and you take it back down and put it back in the oil. And that was three times a day. I mean, you know, if you have butter for whatever.
Yeah.
Milk.
So we're talking about your childhood right now. What would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Work ethic.
Which makes sense with the farm and all. What did you learn from having to grow up at such a young age? Obviously, you left home when you were 16.
Well, you learned quite a bit there. You know, you learned to hang on to your money.
Yeah. Do you mind me asking how much you made at your job trimming trees?
I can't remember now, but I can tell you that I went to work at Chevrolet Chevrolet in Muncie.
Okay.
I was 19, I think. I made $62 a week.
A lot.
40 hours. Yeah, that was big money then.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You started there when you were 19, you said?
Yeah, about 19 I worked there. I don't know, worked 60 days or something like that. They laid you off real often then.
What did you do after that for a job?
I drove a truck for a living.
Okay. And what type, like, were you just like a semi-truck driver? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you probably had to go a lot of different places for that job.
Well, yes, I went around quite a few different places, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you like doing that for a living?
Yes, I enjoyed driving a truck.
And when did you finally quit working?
And I was 62 years old, 97.
Okay.
I retired.
And what advice would you give to someone who's about to enter the workforce? So I'm in college, going to look for a job in a couple of years. What advice would you give me?
Well, everything's so much different now than it was. The main thing is, that, to me, is to show up to work. I mean, you got so many people that lay off too much. You know, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was working, we had sick days and vacations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the people I worked with, if they'd get a sick day, it'd come up today. Well, they'd take off sick tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. And then...
What are you going to do if you actually get sick?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's the... Well, I mean, it's, you know, I worked all different jobs. I worked on La Falla Hall out here when they built La Falla Hall.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you do for that?
I drove the dump truck.
You drove the dump truck? So then, how old were you when you met your wife?
I was 23.
Hi, I'm Ina Neal, and I'm 78 years old.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up probably in the same area he did in Kentucky till I was probably, I think, 8. And then we moved to Newcastle, Indiana. And then the rest of my growing up was there. Then I met him.
Mm-hmm. So what did the typical day in your childhood look like, would you say?
Well, very similar to his, although we lived in town, and we played on the sidewalk where he played in the dirt. And although we had dirt also, but we had a few more modern things than he did. But we would go back to Kentucky to visit my grandma, and we had to put the milk and the butter in the spring to keep it cold, and had to walk. They lived way back in the mountains, and we had to park probably a mile away and walk to their house.
Oh my gosh.
And no matter if you got in late that night, you still walked.
That's so scary.
The roads were so bad you couldn't drive the car. But yeah, I was raised in Newcastle, and my dad worked at Chrysler, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I had probably a pretty normal childhood growing up. We went to the city schools and walked until, I think, 6th grade. And then they changed our schools, and we were bused then. out to the country to a school.
Yeah.
That was pretty much my growing up. I had a brother and a sister. Mm-hmm. And then in my later years, after I was married, I had a younger sister come along.
Oh. So where did you fall in the birth order?
I was second oldest.
Okay. And who was older than you, your brother or your sister?
My brother, yeah.
Okay, so wait, your brother, you, your sister, and then another little sister later.
Yeah.
How many years younger than you is she, your youngest sister?
I think she was 19 years younger.
Oh, wow. I mean, it almost was like a niece to you.
Well, yeah, she was like
a daughter?
Our child, because we had children by then.
Oh. Well, you had three?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, our youngest is the same age as her sister.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a week's difference. My mom and I were pregnant at the same time.
So, did you have a job growing up?
No, I never worked outside the home. Yeah. I stayed in school till we got married.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
It was like he said, it was a work ethic. We knew that if you had $2, you better save one of them. And, you know, that was what we were taught, that you had to look for tomorrow. You couldn't just live for today, because tomorrow you might not have food on your table. My dad worked at Chrysler, and like he said, he was, you know, back in those days, you were laid off a lot, and we lived on unemployment and a lot.
Unemployment then wasn't like it was today, because all my life I only drawed two unemployment checks.
Really?
And it was $62 each one of them.
Well, I said my dad worked at Chrysler. After he passed away and we were cleaning out papers, we found check stubs where he brought home from Newcastle Chrysler like $55 for the week. So back in the day, the wages were quite low. And we lived in a two-bedroom house and there was five of us. And it was close quarters, but we made it.
Yeah.
You know, you was talking about the school. Now, the one-room school,
mm-hmm.
We walked to school.
How far away?
About a mile.
About a mile?
Mile and a quarter, something like that.
So even when it's snowy and...
Every day.
Well, it was probably...
Cut across the fields to go back, climb the fences and go through other people's fields going home from school.
Yeah, smart, so then you can
get there. We walked to school too, and ours was about 2 miles from, because our school was clear across town from where we lived, so we walked, and you were hoping some of the neighbors were picking up their kids and give you a ride.
So... And your brother, he passed away at a pretty young age.
He did. He committed suicide.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you.
What did that experience teach you?
It just taught me that you never let someone else move into your life and control it to the point to where you can't be your own person. His wife, she ran away with another man, sued him for divorce, and... You know, that's what led to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just wasn't himself because he thought so much of her. And it was hard.
Yeah. How old was he?
He was 23, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
So, how did you meet your husband, George?
I met him. He was on a date with my cousin. And that's how we met. And then, of course, they were just kind of casually dating. And then he asked me out, and I went. And then one thing led to another, and next thing you knew, we were engaged.
Yeah. So how old were you when you
17.
Met him? 17.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, young. So you were still in high school then?
Yeah, I was.
Wow. And how old was your cousin?
She was 2 years older than I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was she upset when you stole her?
Oh, no. No, she wasn't.
That is...
It was more like just a bunch of friends, you know, that...
No, I understand that for sure. That's funny, though. So what was your first date?
Oh gosh, I gotta think about this. I don't remember.
Maybe he will. If not, it's okay.
Yeah.
He's coming up. We were just talking about how you two met.
Oh.
And how you were on a date with her cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from your point of view, like, how did that happen?
Just happened.
Do you remember your first date?
With her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it?
Do you remember? I think we rode from up and down Madison Street in the car.
They
used to have that. They used to be the North Star.
Yeah.
Down on Madison Street. What is it? Kentucky Fried Chicken now or something?
Somewhere right in that area.
And then Carmen's is down at on 18th and Madison.
Okay.
And then Carter's is on down on 28th and Madison.
Oh.
And people just drove from one.
Yeah, it was. They had car hops and.
You just drove from the drive-in restaurants to the other.
And traffic was backed up, but they just drive through this drive through the parking lot, and then you pull out on Madison Street. You go down the street to the next restaurant drive-in.
Yeah.
Just that's what you did all evening long.
They had some of them drive deals here last summer. From them restaurants and stuff they had.
Do they?
I seen it in the paper where they're having people drive up and like they did years ago.
The North Star, the waitresses that brought your food to you, they were on roller skates.
Oh, how cute.
Have you seen that on TV?
Yeah, I've seen it on TV.
That was actual, the way it was done.
So what made you both like fall for each other?
He was lots of fun. Real active, so, and I guess I was too. So we just kind of hit it off right away.
Would you say that you knew early on that you would end up together, or?
Well, yeah, but not right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took maybe a couple weeks. No. Maybe a couple of months, you know.
We dated for a year.
Well, yeah, I know we did, but she said, when did we know that we were going to be together?
Of course, at that time,
before he did.
At that time, I was gone a lot with the truck. Yeah. I used to run all over the country.
Yeah, so that had to have been hard then.
In the last, in 64, I started working for a freight company, and then I was within 500 miles of home at all times.
When did you finally get married then? How old were you both?
I was 18.
Okay.
And he was 25.
All right. And you said that your anniversary is this Saturday.
December 5th.
December 5th.
1959 is when we got married.
1959. What was your wedding like?
We got married in the church at Newcastle by Reverend Pavey. And it was just a small wedding. Mm-hmm. We had just had...
four people there, wasn't it? Six?
Yeah, something like that.
Really small wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just got married in the study of the church.
And did you go on a honeymoon or anything like that?
No, he went back to work the next day.
Oh, no.
We got married on Saturday night, and on Monday evening, I went left here to New York City.
Yeah, I guess it was.
So you were on the go all the time, probably, with that job.
He was, yeah.
How was that for you?
Well, it was hard, but I adjusted, and... We had three kids, and I didn't have a lot of time to think about it, I guess.
Yeah.
She raised the kids.
Yeah.
Really.
Uh-huh.
She did. Done a good job.
Thank you.
Aw. So what would you say is the key to that successful marriage? I mean, you'll be married 60 years Saturday. 61, even more.
Just work together. Don't just talk it over when you... If you have something to say, just say it and then get it over and go on.
Yeah.
Be like a guy from Missouri told me one time. He said, when he got married, they talked it over, that she would take care of the little stuff, like his finances and stuff like that, and he'd take care of the big stuff. But he said, what was it? They was married almost 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there ain't no big stuff ever come up.
So you have three kids, like you said. How old were each of you when you had your first, second, and third kids?
I was 19 and 21 and 23.
Okay. And so you would have been...
Jeff was born in 60.
Yeah. I got
you
26.
Were 26, I think.
26.
Okay.
28.
And what are your kids' names?
The oldest is Jeff. The middle is Kim. And the youngest is Stacy.
Stacy. Do you have any particularly funny stories from when the kids were little?
Oh gosh, our whole life was funny. We had horses back then, and when the kids were little, and he sent one of the oldest to the barn to get something, and he just jumped on this horse and he didn't put a saddle or anything on it, and the horse took off running, and the horse decided to stop, and he went right over its neck.
Oh no!
Which didn't get hurt, which was, that was good.
Yeah,
but it was funny to watch him.
That's hilarious. So, what lesson would you say that you stressed the most to your kids when they were little?
To always tell the truth. No matter if it's going to get you in trouble, you still tell the truth. And they lived by that, didn't they?
All day, the old duties of day.
Mm-hmm. That you don't sidestep it if it's, you just tell it like it is. And that's the best reward you'll ever get out of life, is people knowing that you don't lie.
What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Is like at Christmas when they all come home. And it's just having the kids around. All our kids live close. And as you see, we have lots of grandchildren.
Yeah.
And most of those are great-grandchildren. We don't have room for all the parents of those kids.
Yeah. What would you say is the most rewarding part?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with it. The holidays and stuff when you can get together, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we used to do that here all the time, but not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that we don't get together all at one time. Our house got too small.
Oh.
And we got too old. But the kids still come, and the grandkids all come. Yeah. It's nice that, you know, they're close enough we can see them.
Yeah.
Sunday. We had a great grandbaby out here.
Uh-huh. How old?
She's 3 months.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months old.
Yeah, she's cute. She's the little one on the end right there.
Oh,
on the bottom.
So cute.
Over toward you. She's just beginning to have a personality.
That's the best when they start laughing and smiling.
Yeah. She got facial expressions. You just wouldn't believe how she can make this face. And
oh, so cute. So cute. What's her name?
Kennedy.
Oh.
Yeah. So Kennedy cute. Grace.
That's a pretty name. What parenting advice would you give to parents now?
Oh my, it's so different than when we were having kids of our own. Just insist they stay in school and help them with their homework. My goodness, I kept one of the great grandkids a couple weeks ago. He's doing this e-learning thing from home. Poor little thing, we finally had to call his mom. I could not.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. What would you say, advice wise?
Well, I don't know it too much. You got to get your education. I was the luckiest guy in the country with no education, and I've made a good living all these years. But if I had to start over now, I'd be out in the street there because I had the computers and stuff like that. And even driving a truck, they're computerized now with where you're going and all this, and got computers in them, so I'd be lost.
I'm going to ask you each this individually. So what would the George of today tell himself as a young husband and father? So if you could give your younger self a piece of advice, what would you say?
Well, I really don't know, because the only thing you could do is do like I done, work all you could to get yourself ahead and stay.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, I don't trust all these computers and phones and stuff like
that. I barely do, and I'm growing up in it.
Well,
yeah.
Banking on a phone and all that, I just don't.
Yeah.
I can't adjust to it myself.
So now to you, what would the Ina of today tell herself as a young wife and mother?
I guess would be just do more with your kids. And I did a lot with our kids. Mm-hmm. But I look back and I wish we could have done it as a mom and dad. But he worked so much that, you know, it didn't work out that way. But I wish it had, and maybe I would work harder at.
And I think you should get your kids in church.
Mm-hmm.
Grow, you know, participate in some of the church activities and stuff like that.
From a young age, too.
Yeah, we didn't take our kids to church, and we both regret that.
We go to church now.
Yeah.
But we didn't. 70 years old before we started going to church, really. Mm-hmm. Now, my folks did when I was small, but when I left home, that went out the window, too.
Yeah.
And that was a bad thing.
So, did you both rediscover your faith, kind of?
Yes.
When you were in their 70s?
Yeah.
And what was that process like? What made you start going?
A friend invited us to go to church with them, and we did. And then we just felt like, you know, that's where we belonged.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't start church in your 70s and expect your 30-year-old kids to go with you. They don't. But now our two daughters are their church people. Mm-hmm. Our son, I don't think we'll ever rein him in to go to church. And that's one of our biggest regrets, is that we didn't together take the kids to church.
Yeah.
Now we done everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did a lot with our kids.
When they was growing up, when they was little, we had horses. We'd all over Brown County and everywhere with them. Then when they got bigger, we bought a boat. We'd go to lakes and do stuff with them.
Yeah.
Spend weeks on the houseboat with them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then after we got older, we got to ride in four-wheelers.
Oh. So you did do a lot of fun stuff with
your kids. Yeah, we have. And then we went to Texas for the winters several years.
18 years.
What part of Texas?
Far, down by McAllen.
Okay, I don't.
It's right down in the tip
of
Texas.
Yeah. You go to Dallas and turn south and go 500 miles and you're there.
Oh, okay. And you went there every... How long would you stay there when you would go?
3 months.
The whole winter. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And when did you stop doing that?
4 years ago.
Oh, wow. So you did it for a long time.
It's a
We done it 18
drive.
Years.
Wow.
Long drive.
Did you have a place there? Would you rent a place? Or?
We had an RV.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Then we were right on the border, so we'd go over into Mexico. And,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was.
So, how many grandkids do you have? I know you kind of started getting to it, but...
We have 7 grandchildren.
Okay.
And then, I'd have to look at this one, 15 great-grandchildren and one great-great-grandchild.
That's so fun, though.
It is.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about being grandparents?
Send them home.
I knew he was going to say that.
You know, I wasn't going to tell her, but now I am. She needs to ask you about your four-wheeler accident. And what you told the Lifeline helicopter.
Now, yeah.
You bait me and I'm going to throw you under the bus.
Actually, could you tell that story?
No.
Yes. You tell it or I will.
Come on.
I forgot.
You didn't. Have Nana tell it then. She once stood on your oxygen at the hospital.
Oh.
Well, that's when he was trying to get shit at me.
Oh, he was in the hospital and I didn't realize it, but I was standing on his oxygen hose, and it was going, I said, what is that noise? Well, I moved, and it quit, and I didn't realize I had stepped off of the tube. I guess I stepped on it again. It started doing it again, and one of the girls said, Mom, you're standing on Dad's hose.
Oh, my gosh. So when was that?
It's been a few years ago. I can't remember what year it was.
No, let's see.
Maybe 94?
Something like that.
We were in Tennessee, and he takes off up a pretty steep mountain on the four-wheeler, and when he came back over, it was end over end over end. So they brought a helicopter in and took him to the hospital.
What did you tell the... Did Holly say that you told the Lifeline nurse something? Her lifeline dog.
Are you thinking, Holly, about when he said, if you just leave him alone?
He said, just give me a goddamn minute and I'll walk it off. But he had 12 broken ribs and both bones collapsed. And
that's terrible.
And he was, what, 70?
And you said, if you let me walk it off.
Yeah. He couldn't even get up. And, oh, it come a storm while we were waiting on them to come get him. And I had to sit in back of him and hold him straight up so he could breathe. And that lightning struck a power line just right over our heads. And the sparks flew. It was a horrible day.
That sounds like a movie.
It did. It was like on the movies you see. But the hill was so steep that he was on, they had to tie a rope on the whatever it is they put you on those boards.
Yeah, the stretcher.
Yeah, tape him down, and they had to tie a rope on it and slowly let it down that hill to get him down off of the hill so they could
put him in the helicopter.
Get him out of there.
How long were you in the hospital?
I just in the hospital a week.
Yeah.
Sent up. Knoxville, Tennessee, and the University of Tennessee down there.
Okay.
That's a good hospital.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Yep. The people are wonderful down there.
Well, then you got lucky, at least with the location.
Yeah.
How long was your recovery?
One week.
Just one week, and then you were back to normal?
Well, no, we wasn't.
Well, I ain't normal yet, but,
you know. Yeah, he was down a month or two, something like that, you know, just trying to get everything back in working order.
Uh-huh. So, seriously, though, what is your favorite part about being grandparents, what do you say?
Just having the kids around.
Just enjoying them. Like, you know, they come here, and we'll ride the tractor and stuff out in the field. I got a tractor up there in the barn. And and I got... We got a side-by-side like a gator.
Uh-huh.
We use it to ride in the mountains.
He rides them in the bucket sometimes.
Aww.
It's fun to have them around.
Yeah. Do they all live around here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice
for you. The good part about it is they all come to see us. They haven't all abandoned us yet, you know, because we're old.
Yeah.
They can still come to Nan Papaw's and have fun.
Oh, I love that.
We have fun as they're having fun. Uh-huh.
How many houses have you two lived in? Have you moved around a lot?
One, two, this three. Is our third.
Third? Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long have you lived here?
74, 76, wasn't it?
No, we moved into this house in 75, but we've lived out here since 72. Because we lived in a mobile home that was on the property until we... got the house done.
Our house is right in the middle of 332 out there when we lived.
It was a mobile
here.
Home. It was on the property when we bought it.
Oh, okay. And then you built this house then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
And what was your first home?
We lived on 11th Street in Muncie.
What was it? 612?
Yeah, I think it was.
We bought a house on 11th Street in Muncie.
Mm-hmm.
The people got a divorce and they walked out. Left furniture and all for $6,500.
That was in 59.
And you just...
We bought it, and that started out right there.
Yeah, they just left everything.
Furniture and everything?
Yeah.
Furniture, bed, clothes.
Dishes, the whole nine.
They
years.
Just walked, took their personal clothes and out the door they went. We took theirs and come right on in.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. It's lucky for you two.
Because we didn't have any money to buy furniture or anything back then.
You just got it all. And the dishes and everything.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So what have you both learned as you have grown and built this life that you have together? I mean, you've been together for 61 years on Saturday. What would you say you've learned?
Well, we learned a whole lot.
Well, he's learned to say yes, honey. No, I've learned that, you know, my love for him grows deeper all the time, every year, and I can tell that within myself, that, you know, it's just that we love each other, and it's just been it's been hard, but it's been fun at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want it to change.
Well, I don't think it will. I feel like you two are pretty solid.
Yeah, we are. I got his back and he's got mine.
Yeah. Is that a clock? My grandma has one of those too. Would either of you have done anything differently with your life?
I'd have to think about that, and I don't really know if there would have been anything that would have been different.
Yeah.
I expect it would have had the same outcome, even if we had have done something different.
Would you say there's anything that you would do differently?
Well, there's some things, yes, I do. I do different.
What advice would you give couples in today's day and age?
I would just give them the advice of don't go to bed mad. If you can't sit down and talk about it and work it out before you go to bed, just at least say I love you when you go to bed, because you know you do, and, and just don't let it eat on you.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, not really. That pretty well covers it, you know.
You can both answer this individually because it's kind of more individually based. So as you look back on your life, who are the people who have had the biggest impact on you or influenced you the most? And you can think about it.
Influenced me the most.
Well, she's had a lot of influence on me, and, you know, and to do what she should, right, you know.
And his mom had a lot of influence on me and him too.
And why would you say that?
He was gone all the time, and my folks lived at Newcastle, and she was just always there for me. You know, a lot of people say, you know, their mother-in-law, and they just badmouth their mother-in-laws because that's just the way it is, but not me. She was just a dear person, and she had a lot of influence on me. She taught me how to cook, really.
I bet you liked that.
Yeah.
Well, that is kind of... He loved his mom's cooking, so it kind of agrees with him that I cook the way she does a lot.
And then, she learned how to lot of sewing, quilting, and stuff like that, too.
She did. She just taught me how to do a lot of rewarding things.
Now, my mother was a cook at Ball State.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. She baked pies out there.
Yeah, she worked in the bakery back when they had... You know, they did all their cooking.
Handwork.
They didn't bring it in and satellite it in. And I don't know if they do that now or not.
I'm not sure.
But they had their own kitchens and all that out there. But but she spent every day baking pies there for years.
Yeah, she worked there probably 30 years.
So you learned from the best.
Yes, I did.
Cooking at Ball State. What would you say each of your favorite memory or time periods of your life?
I guess when our kids got to be teenagers.
And why?
Well, they were kind of like, he was gone to work all the time, and they were kind of adults, just a little below me, but I could come back down to their level real fast.
They were like your friends, kind of.
Well, I think the time we spent together, even in the going to the lakes and stuff like that, and spending with the kids and the grandkids at that point in time. Not all of them now, as many as we got, but we had.
We took Holly on a houseboat and stayed a week when she was 3 weeks old.
Really?
Yeah.
How fun. Just you three?
No, her mom and dad went.
Well, the whole Jeff and Kim, or Jeff and Stacy and them all went too.
They probably, because we, that houseboat's supposed to sleep 10 or something like that. We ran out of room.
What advice would you give to my generation?
I guess just be true to yourself. You know, be yourself and work hard and be kind.
That's about covered.
We just need to be kinder to each other. You know, our world has gotten so
hateful.
Oh, yeah.
Dog eat dog anymore.
What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
Your family and God. I don't know what we'd do without our family. My mom and dad's gone, and his mom and dad are gone, but we have our little immediate family, and we are pretty tight-knit. We got each other's back no matter what. Uh-huh. You know, it's, we can count on them, and we can count on Holly calling every day to check on us, and if she don't come by once a week, we
you call her?
Yeah, we think something's wrong with her.
She's mad. Of course, I'm going to talk to Joe. I'm going to get her straightened up.
You are not.
Boy, Joe just about got her straight.
Uh-huh.
He call her. She jumps off that phone. Joe's calling. I got to get with it.
He asked. Tell him I left 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, right.
And the final question, what do you both hope to be remembered by?
I want to be remembered, hopefully, for my kindness and my help to others and being true to God. And if you're true to God, you'll be kind to others and you'll get rewarded for that. And I hope they remember me, guys, for being a good mom.
I'm sure they will.
And a grandma and a great grandma. But life's too short.
What about you?
Yeah, you need to be true to yourself and other people. I mean, to me, just tell it like it is and then go from there.
Don't fake it.
Fake it.
Yeah.
You just tell it the way it is and it might slap you in the face, but you can get up and
sit right on the and slap, I guess.
And then, actually, one more question. What would you say that both of your typical days are now? Now that you're both retired and home? Sit in your chair?
See that TV over there?
Yeah.
I don't believe either one of you would say that during canning season.
No.
How big is Papaw's garden?
Oh, you have a garden?
Yeah, he has a big garden.
Two of them.
What do you grow?
Corn beans.
So you're going back to your farming roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good gardener.
Yeah.
We put up 50 quarts of corn this year. Cream corn.
50 and quarts?
Then a can, 50 cans of beans, too.
Wow. How much work does that require? Probably a lot.
That's work.
Yeah.
It is work.
Yeah. But it'll last a couple weeks.
When did that start? When did you start growing that garden?
Well, we start in the last of February. We start growing, get our plants started.
Yeah.
Tomato plants.
Tomatoes.
Oh, you grow
tomatoes. Cabbage, stuff like that.
We may be old, but we're still
active.
Yeah, working the old way, growing stuff and canning, freezing, all that.
Yeah.
And we share it with the kids.
Yeah, I bet they love that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. What would you say some of your other hobbies are? Do you like to read or?
No, I can't.
I quilt.
Oh, you can't read?
He can't see to read. He can with that magnifying glass there, but it's hard for him to continuously
read. That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't see here, but I can see out there.
Yeah, his vision is failing up close.
Yeah.
But we've been making baby quilts for Better Choice, I think it's called.
First Choice.
Oh.
Well, it's a Better Choice, too. And we made over 500 masks and gave them away. We didn't charge for them, a friend and I.
Where did you give them away?
Her daughter, my friend that I made them with, she's a nurse, and through different nursing homes and doctor's offices and stuff, until they could get them.
Yeah.
You know, when this thing first hit, there was such a shortage.
It was scarce,
Yes. And so we made those and give them away.
Well, that's awesome.
And Papaw takes care of his brother.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he has dementia, and
doesn't have any living children.
Yeah, he lost his wife, and both of his daughters just passed away within a year of each other.
Were they really young?
They were in their 50s.
Oh, my. Both of them. So where does your brother live?
Over in Yorktown, South Yorktown.
Okay. So how often do you see him, would you say?
Well, some days every day.
Sometimes twice a day.
Twice a day, and some not as many.
Yeah.
It's just according if he gets out of hand and they can't, his help can't do anything with him.
Okay.
He goes over and helps with him.
And how do you get him to calm down?
I can just talk to him and he'll settle down. Biggest part of the time.
It's just,
once in a while you have to just
kind of
hold him a little bit.
But he recognizes you and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he doesn't recognize anybody else, he recognizes him.
Oh, wow. It's a good thing that you are so close then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's special. And you and your brother are obviously very close if you both left home at the same time. And would you say he's like your best friend?
Yeah. Yeah,
they worked together even after they left home and come here. They still kind of hung together, worked at the same place. Mm-hmm. I suppose they were the only family each of them had at that time here.
Yeah.
It worked out okay.
Yeah.
Did you share that you helped raise Cheryl and Brandy? And
yes, well, he had a niece that... she got pregnant when she was 14.
Oh, wow.
And she had been staying with us some through the years. And so when she had the baby, she was a freshman in high school, I believe. She might not have even been a freshman. But anyway, we kept the baby for her to finish school.
Oh, you did?
And she turned out to be a great mom. And she always gave me credit for that.
and what was her name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Uh-huh. She went to Yorktown.
She's one of my grandpa's brother's daughters that passed away not too long ago.
Yes. She, and now the daughter,
Brandy,
she praises us all the time because she stayed, as she grew up, she stayed with us. Just was turned out to be a great kid.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Okay. You both did great.
Oh, you think so?
With a strong work ethic and a great appreciation for the simple things in life, George and Ina Neal have built an amazing life together these past 61 years. A life together with family, faith, and a love that only grows more and more each year as the foundation for each story along the way. George and Ina's life is an example to us all that by putting honesty, hard work, and kindness at the center of all you do, you can create the life you desire.
I could tell about Holly going to get in a slushie.
What is it?
Oh my gosh. You're ridiculous. I can't remember how old I was now. They sent us in to get a slushie at the gas station, and it was back when you did the slushie machine yourself. Like, it didn't come out in the flavors. You had a cup of ice and you pulled it out and you made your own flavors. And it got jammed. And my uncle convinced me to pull on it really hard, and it just sort of exploded all over that marathon station.
What did you do?
I'm covered in it, and it's all over the walls.
Oh,
and my great grandma, my papa's mom, was out in the car. I can't remember where we were taking her. I don't know why we were all together. Who knows? And so I got to laughing so hard I wet my pants, which created a whole different mess.
Well, the thing of it was, he told her, he said, Holly, I'll pull this lever, you look up and see if you can see what's holding it up.
It just went up.
It wasn't held up anymore.